Friends, 12 months ago, a new program of total mobilization or maximum sacrifice was placed before Indians in East Asia. Today, I shall give you an account of our achievements during the past year and shall place before you our demands for the upcoming year. But before I do so, I want you to realize once again what a golden opportunity you have for winning freedom. The British are engaged in a worldwide struggle, and in the course of struggle, they have suffered defeat after defeat on so many fronts. The enemy having been thus considerably weakened, our fight for liberty has become very much easier than it was 5 years ago. Such a rare and God-given opportunity comes once in a century for liberating our motherland from the British yoke. I'm so very hopeful and optimistic about the outcome of our struggle, because I do not rely merely on the efforts on 3 million Indians in East Asia. There is a gigantic movement going on inside India, and millions of our countrymen are prepared for maximum suffering and sacrifice in order to achieve liberty. Unfortunately, ever since the great fight of 1857, our countrymen are disarmed, whereas the enemy is armed to the teeth. Without arms and without a modern army, it is impossible for a disarmed people to win freedom in this modern age. Through the grace of Providence and through the help of generous Nippon, it has become possible for Indians in East Asia are united to a man in the endeavor to win freedom and all the religious and other differences that the British tried to engineer inside India simply do not exist in East Asia. Consequently, we have now an ideal combination of circumstances favoring the success of our struggle, and all that is wanted is that Indians should themselves come forward to pay the price of liberty. According to the program of total mobilization, I demanded of you men, money and materials. Regarding men, I am glad to tell you that I have obtained sufficient recruits already. Recruits have come to us from every corner of East Asia, China, Japan, Indochina, Philippines, Java, Borneo, Celebes, Sumatra, Malaya, Thailand and Burma. You must continue the mobilization of men, money and materials. With great vigor and energy, in a particular, the problem of supplies and transport has to be solved satisfactorily. We require more men and women of all categories for administration and reconstruction in liberated areas. We must be prepared for a situation in which the enemy will ruthlessly apply the scorch earth policy before withdrawing from a particular area, and will also force the civilian population to evacuate as was attempted in Burma. The most important of all is the problem of sending reinforcements in men and in supplies to the fighting fronts. If we do not do so, we cannot hope to maintain our success at the fronts, nor can we hope to penetrate deeper into India. Those of you who will continue to work on the home front should never forget that East Asia and particularly Burma form our base for the war of liberation. If this base is not strong, our fighting forces can never be victorious. Remember that this is a total war and not merely a war between two armies. That is why for a full 1 year, I've been laying so much stress on total mobilization in the East. There is another reason why I want you to look after the home front properly. During the coming months, I and my colleagues on the War Committee of the Cabinet decide to devote our whole attention to the fighting front and also to the task of working up the revolution inside India. Consequently, we want to be fully assured that the work at the base will go on smoothly and uninterruptedly even in our absence. Friends, 1 year ago, when I made certain demands of you, I told you that if you give me total mobilization, I would give you a second front. I have redeemed that pledge. The first phase of our campaign is over. Our victorious troops fighting side by side with Nippon's troops have pushed back the enemy and are not fighting bravely on the sacred soil of our dear motherland. Gird up your loins for the task that now lies ahead. I had asked you for men, money and materials. I've got them in generous measure. Now I demand more of you. Men, money and materials have the motive power that will inspire us to brave deeds and heroic exploits. It will be a fatal mistake for you to wish to leave and see India free simply because victory is now within reach. No one here should have the desire to leave to enjoy freedom. A long fight is still in front of us. We should have but one desire today, that desire to die so that India may live, that desire to face a martyr death so that the path to freedom may be paved with martyr's blood. Friends, my comrades in the war of liberation, today I demand of you one thing above all. I demand of you blood. It is blood alone that can avenge the blood that the enemy has spilled. It is blood alone that can pay the price of freedom. Give me blood and I promise you freedom. This is what Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose's iconic speech. This episode is all about his biography. I hope everyone who is listening this from all over the world, his story is entirely different from the other Indian freedom fighters. Every freedom fighter has given their blood for the freedom of my country, our country, it's India. My country, it's a very, 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 very beautiful country. The struggle they have faced, I don't know how many people will remember, but I want the world to know, especially the people of India to know, how one of the freedom fighter, that is my idol, which I chose as a podcast, so that I can reach to many audience out there in the world. He's the man, I'm a bit emotional, he's the man gave his life for the freedom of India. This powerful speech was made in Burma in 1944 to the Indian National Army. We all know Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose was born on January 23, 1897, in Cuttack, Odisha. He was one of the India's most popular freedom fighters, who differed with Mahatma Gandhi's methods of non-violence and wanted to wage war against our colonial rulers. He became the president of the party in 1938, but was ousted after differences with Gandhi and party's high command. But there is no denying fact that how impact that Subhash Chandra Bose has created on the Indian public. Look at me, I'm just 25 years old right now. When I got to know that Subhash Chandra Bose in my 5th standard, when we are having Independence Day, there were the speeches given by my teachers. Then I came to know this slogan, give me blood and I shall give you freedom. That I was in the 5th class right now, I'm doing my post-graduation. It took me this much of time to share what he is. He's great, he's an idol. To me, he's a god. This is not even an episode one, this is just a trailer. I'll be discussing about his life, how we live, how we came up to the president of, and how we created Indian National Army in the following episodes. My name is Ajay and I'm from India. Thanks for listening. Hope you will like this. And the main motto of this biography is that how you will change your life and how motivated you will be by listening to the story. I got motivated after knowing just this slogan, give me your blood, I will give you freedom. Thank you for listening.